Did you pursue any your athletic interests at the university?
Well, as I said, I was all-conference end. So when I went down to university, I thought I would try out. So I went over and talked to the freshman football coach, who was Dallas Ward, who went on to great heights as a coach later on, not at Minnesota, but at some of the other schools. And so he says, took a look at me, and he says, would you play in high school? And I says, I played end. And he says, oh, you're too small, kid. You better come back when you grow up. And I says, no, you don't even know whether I can play football or not. And he says, well, you can come out if you want to, but it won't do any good. So the first practice of the freshman team, there was 210 guys out. And I got shuffled down to the 18th team. It wasn't the bottom. But all we saw was a dummy scrimmage. I never got into a full scrimmage, and so I was out for 6 weeks, and all we did was go through motions and exercises and things like that for 6 weeks. And I decided I had more important things to do, so I dropped out. And that there, he knew about 25 of the people by the first name the first time out that they'd recruited. And that they had these national championship teams come up, so that they didn't need that many, and of course that was where everybody played both ways, mm-hmm. and so they didn't even need any of that. So when they had 210 out for freshmen, you just knew that thing. Now they could have used me in a few years later on, but I wasn't there, so I never went out for any more varsity things. So I played intramural sports.
Not even track. You had done a lot of track in high school.
So I just decided I was out of my league as far as athletics. Right. So I studied.
Well, athletics, professional salaries weren't what they are today either.
Well, that's right. Yeah, right.
Well, you said you started in a liberal arts college and you took some general courses, I think said chemistry, physics.
And math and English, I think. That was my first.
Do you remember who you had for you as your chemistry instructor?
Well, I had Sneed. He wrote a famous mm-hmm. book. Mm-hmm. He was my freshman. He taught all the freshmen there. And then my physics instructor was Neer, of the atomic energy fame. And, of course, at the time, I didn't know how famous he was.
Was then after that first year that you switched over into the institute?
Well, yeah, I think it was probably not until the end of my second year that I shifted. In other words, I could have been a chemistry major in the liberal arts college.
I'm not clear on the difference between the liberal arts at that time and the Institute of Technology.
Well, the Institute of Technology is, of course, the College of Engineering, but it so happened that the School of Chemistry at Minnesota is in the engineering college, but you can get a chemistry degree from both the liberal arts or from the engineering, and one is a BS with a major in chemistry, and the other one is a bachelor of chemistry. And so, in talking to the professors over there, they thought it would be more desirable to have the super degree, which is, of course, not only ACS accredited, but we took a lot of additional courses with an engineering background. So with the Bachelor of Chemistry, I took engineering drawing and descriptive geometry, statics and dynamics, and of course some industrial chemistry, and some mechanical engineering. I took a course in pattern practice, and one on the blast furnace, and a few like that, that were more typical engineering.
Any chemical engineering?
Well, this industrial chemistry was really chemical engineering.
What chemistry did you have your sophomore year? Did you get into at that time, emphasizing qualitative? And
we had two. It was on the quarter system, so we took two terms of freshman chemistry, and then we took qualitative analysis, which covered the cations, and then the first quarter of the of our sophomore year, we took another qual, which was mostly the emphasis on anions. And then the other two quarters of our sophomore year, we took quantitative analysis along with the organic. So we took three quarters of organic, but then we had qual and quant our sophomore year. And then we took physical chemistry our junior year. And then the senior year was a whole bunch of advanced chemistry. So we took took a course in advanced organic from Lee Irvin Smith, and organic qual, advanced organic quant, and then a specialty synthesis course from Kelch, and
did you have a selection at that time? These courses, these advanced courses?
Well, these were all advanced courses. You had a little bit of selection, but you were supposed to take advanced courses in each of these areas, and I picked organic as the one that I would take a few extra electives in.
Who was your first organic instructor?
Walter Lauer.
Is that where you developed your organic interest at that point, or did it?
Well, yeah, I guess along that, those lines. I think I decided to go into organic because I was I watched the kind of research that the people did, and I was watching the physical chemists, spend a year building a machine, and then a year taking data, and then a year calculating the results, and I sort of more impatient, and so I wanted to see some results in a short time. And organic was one of those that you could run a reaction and work it up, and you could see whether you got it or not in a very short time. So that appealed to me a little bit more than some of the other areas.
Who did you have for physical chemistry?
McDougall.
And were you said you were also taking a lot of math at this time. That high school math that you did after school and.
Well, that certainly helped me because, for instance, although I never got credit for trigonometry that I took in high school. We had gone over quite a bit of trigonometry. So when I got to the university, of course, they signed me up for trig. And so I was the highest in the class. So I was well prepared, even coming from the small high school, to really handle the math there. So. There was no problem, and it was because of this extra help that I got, because certainly other people that had come from our small college, had a tough time adjusting. Mm-hmm. My brother, who did not participate in these sessions, had a much more difficulty with the university math courses than I had. But I just came right in, and the first trig course that I had, and it was just just very easy. And
did you do any research as an undergraduate?
Not really. The only thing that would be close to it would be this advanced prep course that Kelch ran, and so we had to do some preps that were, you know, small research problems, but nothing that you'd really call research.
Did you were there any instructors that had any influence on you particularly in the department?
Well, of course, Lee Irvin Smith obviously took me under his wing. I remember that this was wartime, and when I went down there, we thought that we should get into the ROTC, and because it wasn't required, but a lot of my friends and everything decided that, we didn't know how long we'd be there, and we certainly wanted to get some background. So I took the first 2 years of basic ROTC, and I was going to go into the advanced corps, which would have committed me, and Lee Irvin Smith called me into his office and just says, I understand you're thinking about going into the advanced corps. And I tell him yes, and he says, I want you to get out of there right away. So you wouldn't take no for an answer. So he was just adamant, and so there wasn't anything I could say or do that would change his mind. He wanted me out of there. So then that affected my whole career at that time, because the people that went into the advanced corps were called on active duty at the end of their junior year, and I went through and finished my senior year, and then my draft board at that time, I was in 43, we weren't really as intensely involved in things at that time, but a lot of my classmates, their draft board says, well, you can't go to graduate school, but if you get an essential job in industry, we won't draft you. And my draft board says, we're going to draft you no matter what you do. I talked to a few people, and Lee Irvin Smith says, well, you're going to Illinois. And I says, I am. And he says, yes, that's where I want you to go. And so I had no, didn't have to look around at all. He had made a call and said, we're sending Bailey down to down to Illinois for you. And so I said, well, that's good. I'm going to get drafted, so it'd be good to go down and get started, and so I know what I'm going to come back to. So I went down there, you know, just under the, well, I was sure that I was going to get drafted. And so after I went to Illinois, I signed up to work for Marvel, and we went on the rubber program, and he got me a deferment then. And then my draft board every time would put me in 1A, and the war production board would put me back into the I forget what the classification was, the 2A or something like this. So I was deferred all the way through, and the draft board says, "Well, we don't understand what you're doing. If you're doing something very essential, then the National Deferment Board will take care of you, and we'll just automatically put you in." So we did that all the way through. So I never did get drafted, and most of my friends that went into essential industry were all drafted, and so I just didn't get caught in the net, and then was able to work on the rubber program during the whole war. And then, of course, at the end of the war, I got my degree, and then I was frozen in there, of course, for the same reason they wouldn't draft me. I couldn't leave either, so I stayed there on the rubber program for some time after I got my degree.
When you first went to Illinois, well, let me back up a moment. Were there any student colleagues at Minnesota that you remember in chemistry?
There were quite a few in my class that I've kept contact with. Let's see, in my undergraduate class, Bob Fox, who is on the board of directors of the ACS right now, it was in my class, and when he showed up down here, he wanted to go on. And I was a professor here at Maryland, and so he got his degree, his PhD, from me here.
I see.
So we were classmates together at Minnesota, and I was his professor here at the thing. And then Axel Bothnerby, mm-hmm. was head of Carnegie Mellon department, chemistry department, is in our class. Chris Rondesvent, who just recently retired from DuPont, was in our class. Let's see, who else was in that? Those are the mm-hmm. top ones. Of course, I got to, one of my lab instructors for organic was the professor at Northwestern that just won the prize in physical organic.
You know his name?
Yeah, let me.
Just this year,
he won. Just this year.
Okay.
Yeah. I know as well as I know my own name, but I can't. Bordwell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When you got to Illinois, that had already been taken care of as to why you were going there. Had you? What was the connection with Marvel? Did you talk to other people when you got to?
Well, that's right. Probably the person down there that was the contact was Fuson. He and Lee Irvin were very good friends, and. I almost worked for Fuson, and at the time he really wasn't doing anything at all connected with the war effort. His research was I decided that I should be at least doing something connected with the war effort. And so Marvel's involvement was very high, and, mm-hmm. and so of the two of them, I finally decided on Marvel.
What about Roger Adams?
Well, Roger was really not spending much time there at all, so he was mm-hmm. really in Washington most of the time. So when the time came to pick a research director, he wasn't around to even talk to anybody. So
how did the problem you worked on for your PhD? How was that determined? Did you select that, or did Marvel assign you to something?
Well, it was a little bit of both. In other words, he gave me, a couple small problems, and then he says, sort of look around to see what you want to concentrate on. And so I did a couple of things, and then one of the problems that they were worrying about was sodium polymerization, and I became interested in that, and then everything just that I touched there worked. And so I just fell into that. Had you had any
exposure to polymers prior to working with Marvel?
Not really. We of course had a little bit as in the advanced some of the advanced courses that we had, but very little. So that was something that just came along. It was probably more of Marvel's personality and everything that attracted me more than working on polymers per se.
What was there about him that you found it?
Well, I don't know. He was just a very easy guy to talk to, very down to earth, very matter of fact, and a little bit maybe more like the people that I was used to in the small town at up in Minnesota. And some of the other profs were a little bit less approachable than Marvel was, and that he was just so easy to talk to, and he was very enthusiastic about everything he did, and that just impressed me.
How many people were in his group when you were there?
Well, there was quite a good sized group. There was probably maybe 25 working on the rubber program. He had some straw bosses, you might say, that helped him run this program. One was Norman Rabjohn, who went out to Missouri, and another one was Bob Frank, who then left after a few years and went up to Morton Thiokol. And then another one was George Inskeep, who went down to the tobacco company. And so they sort of helped run the thing. And some of the other people that were in the group, Charlie Oberberger,
yes.
was there at that time, and Paul Smith, was chairman of the board now, was there in the group.
What about Price? What was your interaction? you have a connection with Price?
Right, I did. Of course, I took beginning, or well, I guess it was the advanced organic, the first year advanced organic from him. And there, half of one semester was devoted to polymer chemistry. So between Marble and Price, then we got a lot of a lot of polymer chemistry there for the first year. So I got to know Charlie in that respect, and then when we had a lot of intramural sports, and Charlie was quite an athlete at that time, so I played softball with Charlie. And you probably heard us reminisce
yes,
about this.
Yes, I was going to ask
this,
you about that softball game that I had heard about.
That's the famous one.
You want to tell us about that?
Well, of course, there were a whole bunch of groups there, and we had a sort of a chemistry softball league. Each group, the rubber division, we had a rubber team, and we had an NDRC team, and they had an animal aerial team, and then the group, and usually the big rivalry was between the animal aerials and the rubber team, and this one summer for the championship. Charlie was playing in the outfield, and he's pretty good at that, catching the ball, throwing the ball up, taking his glove off, catching the ball, and throwing it in. He could do that about as fast as any two-handed guy that you've seen. And we were playing, and I think that the score was such that we were about 3 runs behind, and so in the last of the ninth, we had rallied and scored 2 runs, and there was 2 outs and bases were loaded. Well, we were obviously they started hitting their pitcher, and so they called for a substitute pitcher, and so they called Charlie in from the outfield to be the relief pitcher, and Wally Runge, when the chemist was up to bat, and Charlie threw one ball, and Wally hit the ball, and Bill Parma was playing shortstop, jumped up as high as he could, and just tipped the ball. Well, when everybody saw it ricochet off his glove, everybody was running, and Charlie Overweger, I think, was either on a second or something, and he ran all the way and scored, and was sitting down having a beer when the ball went up in the sky, and the short fielder caught it. Well, they threw it in, and of course it was a triple play. And so the animal aerial team won, I think, 8-9, was the score. But we thought sure we had the game there. The last of the ninth, no outs, bases loaded. And he threw that one pitch.
Let me come back to your first problem, and we mentioned George Inskeep, and his name appears on that first publication you had with Marble. Mm-hmm. Were you looking at for materials with specific properties, or were you doing a systematic exploration of the polymerization reactions?
I think, of course, first we just wanted to, I guess, make some sodium polymerized material to see what it looked like. Now, there had been a description of this in the literature, and the that had occurred even as in World War I. And then Carl Ziegler had studied it in the 20s and had determined the mechanism of this.